Hi everyone, welcome to another Crypto Sparta podcast episode. Did you buy the dip? We're gonna do a special podcast on Saturday instead of Sunday after the dip.
The crash, or we had another similar May crash from 2021 where Bitcoin and Ethereum both like dipped 20,000. So that's like a pretty huge
20%.
Yeah, 20%, sorry. Yeah. And so that's a huge, when you know Bitcoin drops over 10, like 15%, that's when you know something's up, and then that had that ripple effect on the whole market. So everything, the 7-day chart for all these altcoins looks so bad. Like it's like down like 25%, 35%. Like no one was
I heard Luna.
Yeah, Luna was like the only one that like weathered the storm.
Yeah.
And they actually went up from 50 to like 70. But it was like a hurricane. Like not a lot of people made it out alive.
And it's interesting because there was the two things that I thought where I was telling you, Brian, that like we're thinking now where we should really look at numbers and like analysis of like what underperformed or overperformed, like also like what levels we think of, because it's like some things bounce back, but then the idea of testing support and resistance where, you know, there's a range of an upper and a lower limit. And if Bitcoin, you know, tests certain levels and if it pushes through resistance at like, for instance, 51,000, like right now it's at what, 48,000?
Yeah. So this, like the week before the dip, like kind of by, you know, Thanksgiving, we talked about this kind of dip and it was kind of steadying, you know, around like 55,000, ranging. And then there's a huge dip from 50,000 or 55,000 to 42,000. And then it kind of just bounced a little bit. And now it's up to like 48,000. And it's kind of like at a resistance level right now.
Last time I checked, everything was green, bouncing. But now everything is red again.
Yeah, it leveled off. Like, so just to recap, I guess.
So you think this is like the new range, basically? Like, because I mean, a lot of people were wondering, will it keep going lower? And we had talked about the fear and greed index. On the one side, like I was saying, we should look at numbers and, you know, what levels we were thinking about. But then on the flip side, just like a fun idea of like market sentiment. I mean, we talk about the market levels, but the fear index is still very much tilted towards fear.
I think
a lot of people are worried.
It got lower. Yeah. Was that 25, I think, last week? And now it's like 18.
A lot of people are thinking it's going to get worse. And I mean, for the people that are scared, we'll talk later in the podcast about some stablecoin strategies that will still outperform the S&P 500. I mean,
Ethereum kind of recovered. Recovered better than Bitcoin. So it was at like,
that was one of the closing
in at all-time highs like this past week before the dip. It was like at 47.84. And then it dipped back to 3,500, 3,600, and then now it's over 4,000. So it's pretty strong. I mean, like
a lot of stuff, or a lot of people were saying to look at the ETH Bitcoin chart. And so, yeah, everything goes down in crypto, but when you chart against like ETH or Bitcoin, or when you chart ETH Bitcoin, the Bitcoin dominance level goes down when ETH outperforms.
Yeah. So I think, and it's a good, that ETH Bitcoin pair is a good indicator of like bull market, bear market, because if you're in a bull market, ETH usually is stronger, and because, you know, all the altcoins are in ETH, you know, that level gets higher. So ETH, I think the 2017 bull run was around like 0.1, that ETH BTC pair, And then, so that's kind of a good indicator of, you know, if we're in a bull bear market. But with Bitcoin dropping.
One of the things on the flip side is like, if Bitcoin goes up really quickly, then everybody consolidates into Bitcoin waiting for it to slow down. So it's like first Bitcoin, then Ethereum, and then the altcoins. And so you want Bitcoin to go up and then you want it to hold a level and then to have people rotate into ETH and then rotate into the altcoins. But what they're saying is that, oh, Bitcoin can keep going down, but ETH is still going up relatively, or Bitcoin or ETH is actually going up if Bitcoin holds levels or goes down. That's like the reversal of the trend. So people are like, oh, is it going to be the flippening? Like, is it the end of Bitcoin dominance? But, I mean, I've been talking about it for like a year. It's like, it still hasn't happened.
I mean, we talked about on this podcast, like the chart or the money flows during the bull like cycle, where it's like Bitcoin pumps and then it goes to ETH, then it goes to high cap.
It's the same bull or bear. The flip side is if things go down, like if Bitcoin goes down 20%, then your altcoins are going to go down like 60%.
But can we actually like use that model anymore now that like the market's like so big? Like,
that's what people are saying, is that is it going to be where, you know, altcoins are dissociated with Bitcoin at some point, where like, okay, yeah, Luna, but I mean, everything is still tied to Bitcoin. I mean, are you going to argue that they're not? Like, if Bitcoin sneezes, everybody gets the flu, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, the market's way bigger than it was in 2017, 2018. There's more, you know, institutional investors, like more
players. I saw some numbers on some tweet about the institutional players just slurping up just mainly Ethereum. Just eating the dip.
Well, if you were able to get the bottom, that, I mean, that's a nice like 25% in a day.
Yeah.
About.
You got your Urzel bag off KuCoin?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any money for the dip. Like I'm like, usually people talk about having stables
This is the reality though, where.
Yeah.
You and I we're retail. I'm like getting flights. Like I'm like sending money for Christmas presents. Like,
yeah.
Are you going to buy the dip? And like, who's buying the dip? Like
institutions. We haven't made enough to have money on the side, you know, set aside.
They're definitely talking about how people are being played by the market makers, because yeah, if you know everyone, how many, and I don't want to say broke, but like, you know, how many people that don't have much money invested are liquidating some of their assets to be able to pay for Christmas stuff?
Or they're going off, you know, leverage, trying to make it.
Yeah. And then those are the people that got screwed. And like, it's like,
so I think
we had talked about it before the podcast, but some of the metrics for the liquidations, it was,
yeah, this is very similar to a May situation where you had a lot of people leveraged and like 2 billion people or $2 billion got liquidated, long positions got liquidated.
Yeah.
From 51 to 42,000.
I was explaining to people how the market dropped 20%, and now it's such a large market that that's like, what is it? How many hundreds of billions of dollars? I mean, it's like, if it's 1.3 trillion, it went down 20%. So it's like between 200 and $300 billion worth of value were wiped off the market.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention as much to the traditional markets and stocks. I'd heard that stocks also were down. And then also like they were saying maybe it's correlated to Biden being sick. Like, I saw the video.
Well, Gensler did have like a speech or like some round table where people were like, what the hell is he talking about? And he was like, I don't think I have the knowledge to like regurgitate what he said, but like he like purposely made it to be open to interpretation because he thinks of himself as an artist. And it was like, people can interpret like what I say in different ways, like similar to art. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about, dude?
I want there to be leaders that are younger, where I don't question like if their like brain is starting to degenerate. Like I saw the Elon Musk tweet.
Well, and it's all about ego too. I'm sure like people in positions of power have huge.
Fauci just like wants to. It seems like he wants to go on TV to be on TV. It's strange. Like, oh, I don't know. The media attention now and the whole COVID era.
Honestly, I think he's, I don't know. I would be tired of it. You know, right? I don't want to be in a pandemic for 2 years. You know, like.
No.
But, you know, that's the.
No, and the Omicron scare and a lot of governments clamping down. I mean, maybe this can be one of the segments. I mean, for the listeners out there, what we're looking to do is try to professionalize and shift the podcast. And perhaps one of the segments can be macro trends.
Yeah.
So maybe every week or once every few weeks, we'll do what the macro trends are, because it will affect crypto prices and Biden being a bit dicey. I heard that there might be some political troubles if some countries start boycotting China, and then that would lead to like a trade war and supply chain issues.
I mean, there's already supply chain issues.
There's already supply chain issues. This already is screwing people. The monetary policy affects crypto as well, you know?
I think also the lot at the end of the year, people are, you know, preparing for tax season, you know, cutting losses and, you know, trying to realize gains, you know, just for, you know, Christmas holidays, whatever, and, you know, starting to plan for 2022. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think this Omicron situation definitely put a hamper on the market. Kind of just removed, came out kind of out of the blue, and then everything's, all the gains that we were like building up. We were, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were ready for this alt season. We were saying, you know, up November, you know, up December, you know, alt season coming. We were ready for Bitcoin to go to 100,000 or like 70,000. And yeah, this kind of just like,
there was like all sorts of like, oh, my altcoin's gonna 4x in the next, by the end of the year.
Yeah, am I ready to like get ready to be a millionaire? No, it's like, nope. Omicron's like, nope, get out of here.
So this is like another idea for a potential segment, but the idea of top signals or bottom signals.
Oh yeah.
So it's like you can just point out to certain things. And I mean, what were some of the top signals you were talking about? I saw some on Twitter.
Well, it was anything Art Basel. It was Art Basel this weekend or this past weekend. And so there's a bunch of these crypto parties too, because NFTs are making their way into art, the real art world. So there's all these parties, like, you know, Size Chad had a, you know, Size Basel party. Pudgy Penguins had a party. You know, there's another crypto gathering. And so
I saw another one. Ice Bags. He definitely is a paid chill for Rainy, but I mean, that's okay. He's done it tastefully as an influencer. Yeah. And there's some artist named Jordi Mola, Moya. I don't know. Jordi is actually really, I'm still in Barcelona. Yeah, it's a very Catalan name. But there was an artist, there was another party. There were many parties. And then also there was always videos of people being at 11 or at Live. And then that's the one where they had the signs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, the bears are fucked.
I saw one picture though where it was a sign that just said down bad. Did you see the photo of the dude outside the club on his computer looking at the chart?
No, I didn't see that. But apparently, like, people got robbed too. Like, people were like out there flexing, and then you know, people had their, you know, Patek Philippe stolen, and they got drugged, and like, that's kind of scary. Like,
I put on Twitter, I was like, sounds like you fucked around and found out.
Dude, I mean, exactly.
You remember when we went to Miami? Another top signal. And then this is one of the tweets that I had seen where it was like, yeah, dude, it's not really the top until people travel to an exotic destination and spend lots of money in lavish parties. Like, it was like an ironic joke where it's like, it's not the top until people go to Miami, like while people are in Miami flaunting their money and like,
and people are selling their coins to flaunt, to flex.
Yeah, exactly. And like, no, all the people like leveraging up and okay, make it all back. Just if I'd gone, I mean, they said that the atmosphere was palpable where everybody's just trying to party, but everyone's down.
Everyone's down bad. Net worth is down like millions.
And then you're at Live, it's like a nightclub.
$1,000 a bottle, like,
yeah, $1,000 sparkler bottles, down bad. Like,
I mean, oh, there was a funny one where it was like this guy like ended up in a tweet where it was like he ended up getting like a private dance and it was like down bad and it was like, why am I even here? Like he's like having like depressed thoughts.
Yeah, like drown your sorrows. There was another one though that I saw. It was another Top Signal thing. Where it was we're in Miami and we were leaving dinner to go to the club 2 minutes away and we took a limousine. maybe that's a Top Signal. And I had really considered, like, I swear I had some spidey senses where we were talking about the fear greed index and like people were scared and I was like, maybe it's time to pull into stables because I legitimately have never done it. I bought USDT because I had to move it onto Binance to swap it for Solana, like way back when, like, that was the only way I could buy Solana.
Yeah, I've never made or cashed out profits or realized profits into stables.
I know, I'm like, yeah, it's like something we talk about. But like,
one day, guys, we'll make it. Yeah. But there's, I mean, oh, here's the tweet. It's like, you cash out what was 20% of your net worth to party in Miami. It's like a 5x flip. We'll recover it next week, you say to yourself. You land and enter the first strip club. Your phone buzzes to down 50%, down 70%. You wipe a tear and pull the dollar bills out of her G-string. you need the tweet reader, me and 21.
I saw one of those where it was like, y'all got any more of those dollar bills from Size Basil from the ground?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of dollar bills. Like, I know I saw like Trader Main there and like, it was like just the floor was flooded with dollar bills.
I would have gone just for that event, but I'm
glad. The Size Chat or the Size Basil event.
Size Basil, yeah. I would have loved to have gone to the Pudgy Penguins, but I still don't. I don't have mine anymore. But
I feel like it. Not that many people showed up. I think it was probably like 100.
More ideal though, because honestly, I would go and I'd try to network and I would try to get business for my outsourcing company, Sparta Outsourcing. Like, we can take a commercial break. It's been announced. We have been onboarding new clients, and so. Web development and outsourcing needs, digital marketing with a focus on crypto clients. So everybody out there listening, you know, all the millions of fans, like, please send us your leads.
Millions of people listening. Also, just scrolling through my like tweets. Also, another Top Signal is Elon tweeting about crypto. Like, he had a Web3 crypto meme where it's like, there's a guy, he's pissing a urinal. There's like plenty of urinal stalls. Web3 people walk up right next to him. He's like, hey man, you should really get into crypto. Web3 is the future. You should join our DAO.
I saw that one. Yeah. Yeah, that was cringe. Like, dude, his meme game is a bit.
Well, he's like, he's big brained. Like, you know, he's the right side of the curve. Different kind of humor for those kind of people.
He's got a touch of the tism.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but you know,
no, just he said it. PC. Yeah. He said it on SNL too. But
oh yeah, he is actually diagnosed. He has Asperger's.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, different kind of humor.
Was it Jack Dorsey?
Oh, he stepped down of CEO of Twitter.
And
that was also, I mean, that.
I think it's a bit bullish. That's like, that's bullish.
Yeah, he's focusing on scaling up Bitcoin transactions, or like, you know, kind of the Lightning Network kind of thing. He renamed Square to like Block.
Cool. Yeah, everybody mocked that.
And then the, yeah, because did you see, like, when they had the teams, like, their pictures was, like, in a block. So it's, like, their mouth was on, like, the left, the front of the cube, and then their face was, like this. So, it, like, their face was, like, curving on the block. It was, like, so cringe.
Since I've done some business stuff in terms of, like, trademarking and, like, you know, branding, it just hit me. And I mean, I'll mention first, I saw the meme though, where people were like, it was the Spider-Man meme where everyone was pointing at each other and it was like BlockFi, Blockfolio,
yeah.
The Block, or like different
Blockworks stuff. Or something.
Blockworks. It just hit me. How much must Jack Dorsey have paid to get the branding for Block?
Same with Meta. Like,
yeah,
Meta is so simple. Like, metaverse, oh, I'm just gonna be Meta.
Hey, I mean, shout out for all the millions of fans out there. If you want to buy crypto legal or crypto memes, it's just a quarter of $1 million. Or actually, I don't know, maybe not, it depends who you are, like, subject to negotiations. If it's the Queen of England that wants crypto memes, we'll discuss
for knighthood, exchange for knighthood. Yeah, but, so the sentiment has been pretty depressing as far as everyone's bags are underwater. We just, like, basically, like, wiped out, like, basically a month of, you know, crawling back.
Yeah.
And so that's where we are. Yeah. But I don't know. We're in it for the long term, right? 5 years. Yeah.
That's what some people were like. Like, when you think in decades instead of days.
Zoom out. Definitely zoom out. And, like, now that your, like, time in market is better than timing of the market, right? You said that last week.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, you kind of get muscle memory of, like, what you're feeling. Like, to me, like, when everything was, like, fearing, it was really, like, my body, like, remembered May of 2021, you know, when that trip, like, very similar things were happening in Twitter. So, like, you know, fear index. But if you look at the price was still higher than it was, like, a year. It was still, like, 4,000.
Higher lows, yeah.
You so saw it was the, just, like, yeah, higher lows.
Yeah, I saw the, it's the, what's his name from Pineapple Express?
Seth Rogen?
No, the other guy.
James Franco.
Yeah, the James Franco where he's like hanging and he's like
first time. The that Western movie he was in. It was like the tale of like Buster Scruggs or something.
Yeah. It's like 25% like, down, like a
first time.
I also kind of mildly shrugged it off, but I was kind of disappointed, but I laughed. But I was like also just really glad I didn't go to Miami. Like, oh,
yeah, that would have been a hole in your wallet for sure.
Like thousands. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to, this is some secret alpha that Brian and I have done from experience. You have to spend lots of money to go to these crypto conferences and do it properly.
Yeah, Miami, I mean, like, just like eating in Miami.
Yeah, just eating.
Eating Miami between two people is easy $100. Like, just for a casual night out.
If you're flying there, and you're paying for a place to stay, why aren't you going to get nice food? And then why don't you go out for drinks to a nice place that then is expensive? And then it's like, okay, well, even the food and drink is expensive, plus the flight and the accommodations. Then I also, like, I bought the ticket. I went actually to the conference. Brian didn't, but, like,
yeah,
going to the conferences. I mean, but it really is where the value is. Don't do it. And this is my advice. I should have gone to the Solana conference, but it would have been just a mess. But the Dubai conference was very worth it. But just expect, like, you know, the cost of doing business is probably 2, 3, 4, 5. It depends on how many days, but thousands of bucks.
Yeah. We're not there yet. as but you I mean, can see.
This is kind of an interesting one though, for perhaps the people that cashed out to flex or why you fake flexing. It would have been cool to see. I think Hard Rock Nick was around, like people.
That's like funny, like how he kind of like.
He must have made quite a bit off of the cameo.
He like turned himself into a meme, basically. And like now he probably doesn't even invest in crypto, do you think? Like,
I think he just like gotten himself for free by now. Like, you know, like people would have sponsored him and stuff. I saw some people have gotten him to do like 50 of them because they're just rich and they don't care. I think his price is pretty cheap.
But like he must learn stuff based off the stuff that he's like reading, because some people are just paying him to read the Ethereum white paper out loud.
Do you want to briefly explain who he is? Because like I'm sure some people are lost.
Like, somebody posted a video of him, I think like at a jewelry store, and he's like he was just flexing in general on video. And then, or like someone was videotaping him, and
he's got like a super, like,
well, he has eyelashes, he has like mascara, he has like the like mascara to accentuate his eyelashes.
Classic like Miami dude, just like, he looks kind of trashy, but like, he does have money, but like, it's kind of crazy.
If you looked at him, he's like really funny because he has like he wears mascara to accentuate his eyelashes, and he has blue eyes, and he's probably like five, he's like pretty short but like kind of chubby, and then he has these huge tattoos, and his beard is like way too like trimmed, like it kind of looks like painted on, you know, where it's like he used marker to make it more like even or like dark or whatnot.
This is another idea for Aubrey and for the team in India to think of for a segment. We should do like character profiles, but also like a know your meme, but like each week we could talk about a different character. And Hard Rock Nick, like, to understand. And I really like to repeat the thing over and over of the idea of like the one tweet that the person had said, if you really want to invest in crypto, learn the characters, learn the culture, go on Twitter, understand the storylines and the history.
It's an ecosystem. Like everything plays its role. Everybody, you know, there's a food chain, there's different areas for, you know, habitats for people to live in. Like, I just remember in high school where, like, they teach you about the rainforest and how, like, you know, the trees that need the most sunlight, you know, palm trees. And then you have the trees you mean, below like that don't have any fart.
That class we went to in Madison, too.
Doesn't get any. That was a water class. That was about the atmosphere. But, I mean, still, depths of the ocean,
too. Well, I slept in and I, like, missed the.
It was all full of athletes that, like, couldn't write.
Yeah,
and it was supposed to be easy A, but like,
yeah. There's the different ecosystems we're talking about, like a noob trading NFTs on Phantom, like that's like a whole little weird.
Yeah, NFT is a whole different animal too.
Yeah, like
it's there's whole, you know, play to E games, like Metaverse, like
yeah,
like it's a whole it. The crypto space is so big, where it's like you just gotta find your little niche or space. But to like make your money,
there's like a broadly accessible, and maybe we should do a Twitter walkthrough one of these days where we can try to tell people, like, okay, if you really want to get into crypto, really Twitter is one of the best places to be up to date. That's kind of what we report on.
It's kind of good and bad because there's no source, you know, like you're just getting screenshots or reports.
I was telling you, when you go to these conferences, it's like, actually, like, there's stuff, there's information out there that's not on Twitter, that's easily available, but, like, you kind of have to be in the building.
Yeah.
And then
there's like a lot of room for misinformation, too.
Yeah.
Because
I was going to bring it back to Hard Rock Nick, where, yeah, he's, like, famous for the where are you and where am I meme. And then I would say everybody that makes him do stuff is like actually someone worth following on Twitter. And yeah, now there's like a library. And he gets, I think he charges like $60. And there's like really.
No, it's like only 25. It's like 25. And then somebody like called him out on it. It's like, oh, you're so poor. Like you're doing cameos for 25. And he's like, and he did like a response video. I don't know who, some Twitter guy. Like, yeah. Ratwell, I think, or something. Yeah. And he was like, I do it because we're in a pandemic and gives people a lot of access. Like, if you want to talk about credit cards and, like, you know, spending limits, we can go to Louis, we can go to, you know, Gucci, we can, you know, and he's, you know, test out my credit cards.
Yeah.
No, he is a living meme, and I don't know, like, how.
Him and the Island Boys.
That's like a new.
Doing better than the Island Boys.
Did he say they got booed off?
Yeah.
At Live, like, yeah. not during like Art Basel, but they're performing like during the weekday.
Yeah.
And they got booed off the stage, or like no one was really vibing.
But I saw. Have you seen the? Because the Hard Rock Nick memes are its own thing. Have you seen the where it's just the video? It's like a few seconds. Where I saw it recently. Where someone opened up, they were like, the tweet was like, opened up the prices, and then it's just him screaming like,
with his like blue eyes, and he's just like,
yeah,
yeah.
And then no, there's the other one. They've made him do so many things. I saw one where it was like 1001100001001.
I mean, he's a good sport. Like, you got to give him that. Like, he's, if you're a meme, you got to be a good sport. So, but yeah, that's how bad we are in the market right now. We're talking about memes, Hard Rock Nick.
Yeah, you gotta eat. That's what you get. That's get you through, you know, the memes.
But yeah, should we go on to our one true segment, the shills?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that hard because everything is on a huge dip.
Exactly. But, it's like pick your poison. I'm going with time though.
Time.
It's interesting though because it's like,
we didn't even get, we were going to talk about it, or should we, you know, brief on what, like what happened, like Danielle says the selling at the top. And so like he was getting flack, I guess, because, you know, it's a doubt. He runs like Wonderland.
I think we got to slow down and like, you got to like bring it back to explain because.
Okay, so do you want to start or, you know, should I?
Well, just the idea that there's Ohm, which is like, you know, you put money in and then some of the money goes towards a treasury that then produces yields over time and backs the currency. And then for holding the token and then staking it, you get rewards. And over time, the rewards will decrease and eventually run out. And at that point, you'll have a stable coin that's a reserve that's based off of the backing of it. And then Ohm has Ethereum stable coins. It's got like a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, we talked about it on the last episode.
And then for time, it also, I was trying to find exactly what the treasury is. And then I found out that actually, I don't think that info is readily available.
Well, I think it's purposely like, I think he purposely does it like that because he, it's not, so Olympus.
It's not a DAO yet.
And yeah, so Olympus DAO is a DAO.
It is a DAO where people then, it's a decentralized autonomous organization where people vote on what to do with the reserves and how to direct the money. But meanwhile, time is directed by Daniele Sesta. And what we were talking about, Brian and I, was the levels of, so now the backing for time, I can look it up, but I'll just say, I can look it up right now.
I can look it up too.
It's yeah.
Like 2000. It used to be at 1000.
Yeah. So there's $2,000 backing every time coin, but you want to buy time to stake it to get rewards. And so
the more people stake and not sell, the greater the, you know, benefit is.
And that's why people want to put their money into time, now, and then the same with Ohm, but Wonderland is outperforming Ohm, and then it's centrally directed by a single person, this guy, and then it's on AVAX rather than Ethereum, and then the pools are more geared towards AVAX. But Daniele Sesta sold AVAX when it was like over 100 before the dip. He sold 100 million OTC, which stands for over the counter. What that means is that they personally contacted an exchange and they used, I believe, Alameda. Huh?
Like FTX? FTX. Or Alameda. Same thing.
This Sam Bankman-Fried, they went to Sam Bankman-Fried basically and they were like, we are looking to sell $100 million of AVAX at once. Because you actually, for these types of trades, you need to like negotiate with someone that actually has that volume. Or else there's trade distortions in the market. Because if you want to do it all at once, then you have to do a TWAP, which is a time-weighted adjusted price, which is like you try to like, over time, you do sell orders. So that's why there's these sell walls when people are buying and selling. This is a bit distracted from shills, but it's interesting to think about the markets where if I want to sell a ton of Bitcoin at 50,000, you can't sell it all at once because as you sell, you decrease the price. And so now there are time-weighted adjusted price sales, or there's like a sell wall where it's like, okay, boom, I'll sell little bits. And then whenever people buy, they're going to buy into my sell wall. And I'll constantly sell as long as the price is at 50,000. But if you're such a whale that you sell so much that it goes down, a lot of people make fun of those people because it's like.
But it didn't really go down. Like, yeah. Like 100 million, that didn't really move the price that much, surprisingly.
No, it didn't. But it's just about how you basically do these types of weighted trades where if you're actually a whale, like the markets kind of boil down to like a small pond then. Where if you're a whale, you can't just sell 30% of the supply of a coin and expect nothing to happen. And then people panic, and it's how markets get manipulated. But he moved all that AVAX into stable coins.
Into his own stable coin.
And then AVAX dropped. And then the treasury, since he moved it into dollars, somehow over time, it's gone from $1,000 to $2,000 backing the Wonderland. And so he's been outperforming the Ohm treasury.
It also has a longer runway time too than Ohm. Like Ohm, the runway used to be is before that move, it was like 415 days. Now it's like up to 421 days of 76,000 APY. And Ohm is like the runway is almost, it's probably like you have less than a year. Like it's like 300.
I think Ohm is like safer maybe, but no, one of the things is that a lot of people freaked out though, and there was a sell-off, but it kind of timed with the rest of the market for time. People get nervous that there's no accountability. However, they'll add a multi-sig, and I think that we've gone through it before, but a multi-sig is a multi-signature where multiple signatures are required to make any major decisions. And so
to access the wallet to make moves, basically.
Yeah, and so he's adding a couple other people. It's like adding like a board of executives. I mean, literally all of these things in DAOs and crypto, it's like a business and legal system that's completely analogous to real business. But instead of having to pay lawyers dollars to like set up a DAO,
you can just set up a DAO. It over the internet.
So that leads us to the other shill when Brian and I get our own fork together. Oh, laughing but serious. Who knows?
That's news to me. I had no idea.
I was reading about it, and it's like that could be the future where everybody has their own fork, and then you decide.
Or it's like you can make a DAO of yourself, or like make a DAO.
Or you just make coins that represent your DAO that like you only sell to a few people.
Yeah.
And I mean, then it really is going to be, it could be a shill for just like crypto companies and like putting everything into the metaverse, dissociating from society. I'm bullish on some of the openings.
I mean, there was a lot of like major partnership news too that we didn't talk about, like Adidas, you know, announcing that they're getting in on the metaverse. They're partnering with Coinbase, or I don't know if it's Coinbase or not, but they're announcing that they're making the move into the metaverse. Like, you had all these patents filed or trademarks for, you know, shoes in the metaverse. So I think people are starting to make moves, but we'll see what happens.
No, it's definitely happening. And I mean, I think that, like, even though it was like a top signal, the Miami stuff is bullish. I saw some articles, I think in the New Yorker or maybe the New York Times or WAPO, you know, it was like, or Newsweek, it was like, Art Basel is always a thing, but this year there's NFTs. Like,
yeah.
There's
no news. No bad news is, or what's that saying where it's like,
there's no bad press or something.
Yeah, no such thing as bad press or something. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're talking about you, and I mean, yeah, the NFT stuff, I mean, I saw my cousin was at Art Basel. He was doing a new NFT project, and he's just a classic artist, but he's moving into NFTs where it's like, I think that, yeah, digital art is definitely, but like, yeah, the NFT is so hard to fork through what's actually worth
it. Yeah, it's hard. My NFT collection is probably worth nothing. It's for shits and gigs. It's the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
And it's part of the culture. We'll see what happens. What
with the Pudgy Penguin eggs.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but I don't know. As far as shills go, I mean, time is a good one, obviously. Honestly, AVAX, buy AVAX. It's on a huge dip. We're pretty bullish on AVAX. Daniel says to 100 is pretty easy.
I just find it like, yeah, nice round number.
It's done it once. Why not again, right?
And the weird thing is, It's actually, I feel like it's not a good time to buy Luna, but I've had this is like
the same. I bought some Luna because I thought you needed to, so I have one Luna coin that I had to migrate over. And I thought in order to sell my tokens, I needed some Luna for gas transactions. So I bought like a couple at like 50. So it's like worth like 100, like close to $200 now. It's like up, it almost to like 2x, but
nice.
But it's like chump change.
I had a smart friend who shilled me Luna, and like, it's like when I bought AVAX at the top, where I'm like, it was an interesting, because Suzu had talked about it, where he was like, a lot more money has been made by buying the top and holding than if something 2x's, you sell half your bag. And the thinking behind that is, dude, I bought the top of AVAX and then it dropped. And it was a mistake at the time. But you hold it long enough and
it outperforms. Zoom out.
So it's like, okay, yeah, the price right now, it's not a good entry for Luna. But the thesis, the case, the investment thesis, dude, everything goes down.
Higher lows. Higher lows with ETH right now, similarly.
Yeah, exactly. If you see something outperforming, you're like, this is probably something that's worth it. And then maybe you keep your eye on it. And then maybe you try to get a good entry instead of like just buying the top. But like,
DCA never hurts.
Yeah, exactly. But the idea of like, sometimes, yeah, something outperforms and then you buy the top and then it drops back and you're like, oh, that was a dumb time to purchase it. But
time in the market, man. We're out here surviving. Like, it kind of feels like it's winter right now, so it's like super cold in Minnesota. Like, we're just buckling down for winter. Like, you know, got your layers on. You know, we're rationing our food. You know, we're conserving our water in the heat. You know, conserving energy, just trying to survive in these markets. So I think on that note, that's a pretty good end.
Yeah, good podcast.
But yeah, that was episode 30 of the Crypto Sparta podcast. It is December 5th.
And shout out to Nick.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
All right, bye.